So then the price goes up and it's like, oh, I already wasn't making as much use of the tool as I should. And now it's going to cost me even more.
That's a really good point, because it opens with, hey, we used to be just a course platform and now we are so many other things. And you're saying that actually makes them feel worse.
Yes.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-in play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go.
Jess, thank you for joining. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. My name's Jess Haney. I am the founder and head strategist at Open Loop Studio. Open Loop Studio is a lifecycle email agency that specializes in free trial onboarding strategies for B2B SaaS companies with free trials.
Love it. And I love what you have in your footer of your website. Also somewhere else in the copy as well. Yes, I was stalking you, where it's like, email is all that we do. And that's why we do it better. It was so good. But obviously yes, you phrased it way better. Do you remember it all?
Yeah. Lifecycle email is all we do. So we do it best.
Okay. So you have this awesome report, which is so cool. Tell me why you chose pricing increase emails to feature in this report.
It came about because I started to notice this trend that with every software raising their prices, the internet would just go bananas. And I'm like a chronically online millennial. My screen time would actually destroy some people, I think. But I spend a lot of time on Threads, on Reddit, on Instagram, on TikTok. And every single time a company raised its prices, people would go ballistic. And what actually got me curious about price increases specifically was, were people getting more bananas? When the price increase was minute or larger, or was it how the companies were wording it? Or like, what was making people so upset? Because there were some people who I would find they would just be like, oh, the price is going up, I'm jumping ship from here. But then other people had like really specific things that they wanted to address within the actual email communication. So it just made me really interested. And so I started to message people when I would see that they were like, oh, this company sent me this email. I would say, hey, can you just forward that to me? I just want to read it. Can you forward that to me? I want to read it. And I just started collecting all of these price increase emails and reading through them, digesting them, auditing them, seeing like, what were they saying? How are they saying it? How much of the price increase was it? What information was in there? What did they leave out? And then going in and trying to find the overall social response to it. And I just thought it was super interesting. And so I just followed that down a trail of being like, maybe other people would also find this interesting. Why don't I put this into a report?
So cool. Because obviously I've swiped 1.5 million pricing increase emails, but I love how you really like scientificified it. Like, let's see what they're all doing differently, the same, wrong, right? And that it, you just keep it for yourself. You decided to share it with the other email nerds out in the world.
Exactly.
So the social media response is typically very angry. People don't go to social to say, yay, I'm so excited that Kit raised their prices. Hooray. Although actually I did write not an excited email about Kit's pricing increase email, but I did say, hey, they actually did a decent job. But again, that's me, an email nerd, not an actual regular Kit subscriber. So how seriously should companies take the social media storm when they do something that is, like you said in the report, it's a piece that actually is like a big, it's like a very critical piece in the relationship. So obviously people are going to be touchy about it. And there are obviously are going to be people that are going to take to social media and be really angry about it. How seriously should they take those rants?
Honestly, I think they should take it very seriously. It's one of those things that like you push a snowball down a hill and once it's going, like you can't stop it. It's just going to keep gaining momentum and getting bigger, bigger, bigger. So people are just going to pile on and it's going to draw a lot more attention. And obviously, I didn't see in the back end for any of these companies, like what was the effect on retention, MRR. I have no idea if they got a wave of cancellations, if a lot of people did switch, but I just don't think that you want to have a lot of people out there like bashing your software and allowing room for that conversation of, okay, not only am I not happy with this price increase, but I'm also not happy with these other things that the company's doing. If they're taking to social media to air their grievances, people are just going to keep piling on. They're going to say, hey, remember when they did this earlier this year and this earlier this year? People aren't going to forget that. And if you give them a space to bring it up, I think they are going to bring it up. And that's what we see happening is it doesn't just stick to the price increase conversation. It's about, when did you have an outage and you communicated it poorly? Or when did a big feature change and you didn't communicate that properly and people were so confused and had to spend a lot of time or money figuring it out? And so I think that making sure that you're communicating the price change properly and not locking it behind a no reply email address so people can complain to you directly versus if you have a no reply email address, they're just going to go to social media to talk about it. And then that's where we see that huge, huge pile on, like we saw many of the companies in this report.
Yeah, I loved that insight in the report. It was so good.
Cool.
Let them talk to you about it.
Yeah, because sometimes people just need to vent it out. It passes. It's like when you release the steam valve on your Instant Pot. It's like you have to release that valve. People need to get it out. Is it better that they can do that into an inbox that you own and that you manage? Or is it better that they go to social media where then anybody can see it?
So should one of the CTAs in price increase emails be something like talk to us? I saw a few of them were, hey, check out our support center, check out our pricing hub, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kit actually did that. They had, is this difficult for you? Hit reply and we'll try to work something out. However, interestingly, I heard in a group coaching call, somebody complaining about the Kit increase. Not complaining. She was just like, I'm not sure. Should I switch to Substack? Should I stay with Kit? You know, they just increased their prices. I'm not sure. And somebody else on Kit in the call said, hey, but did you try replying? And so she hadn't tried replying. So it was just an interesting thing. Like, do people actually hit reply or not? But what do you think about that, adding that kind of thing to the emails?
I think in this instance, people are going to reply if they're going to reply. Like, I don't think that you need to invite it, but I think the option should be there. I did like how Kit did use that approach where they said, you know, if this is going to have like a huge impact on your business, please reach out. And I do know a couple people who did that. Some of them posted publicly, others I just know of privately. And they were able to work out a deal to stay on a lower tier. I know it wasn't exactly what they were paying before, but it was one of those things where Kit didn't just say that and then say, oh, actually, we don't have anything like any other options for you. But I don't think that I would have a CTA saying to reply, especially if there's no wiggle room in what you're offering. Like, because Kit had that wiggle room for some people specifically, inviting that kind of reply was definitely a good idea. But it's funny because some people got the email and, like you're saying, she didn't even know that that was an option. Like, a lot of people just, I think, see that it's a price increase and then they're like, okay, well, that's just how it is. And then they just leave the email, probably.
I like that insight that the people who are going to respond are going to respond. You don't have to have it as its own CTA, especially since there's so many other places we want to be directing them towards, like the new pricing plan, that pricing hub center thing that a few of them had, which I thought was pretty cool. It showed like it came as a very structured, deliberate sort of decision versus, hey, we're increasing your prices. Have fun.
Yeah.
So I like that option. That was cool. Is there ever a reality where there's a brand that people love and they increase their prices and people say, yeah, okay, you deserve it. You haven't increased your prices in 10 years. You are adding all these new features. Yes, you actually deserve $3 more a month from my wallet.
The only time that I've seen that is with Flowdesk. And as you'll notice, I didn't include Flowdesk's price increase in my report. I had assessed it, gone through and done my audit. But what Flowdesk was actually doing is raising the price on new subscriptions. So they didn't do a true price increase. Everybody was locked in at their previous price. So it was interesting to see that people really went to bat for Flowdesk, saying, this is how you do a price increase. This is the way that you should communicate it. Like, this is the way that software companies should take note. Everybody take note, while also recognizing you're not actually paying anymore. And a lot of people were saying, I would 100% pay the new price. And I'm sitting here thinking, that's great to say, but would you actually?
Mm-hmm.
If Flowdesk had have come out and said, we're increasing our prices across the board, would the response have been the same? I personally don't think it would, just given what I saw throughout here.
Mm-hmm.
The other example, actually, now that I think about it, is Practice Better. And I actually couldn't find anybody talking about Practice Better's price increase on social media. And the only reason I knew it is because one of my best friends uses Practice Better. And for anybody who's unfamiliar, Practice Better is a software for health practitioners, so nutritionists, dietitians, people like that, and they can communicate with their clients and upload like test results and give them protocols and stuff like that. And I found not a single complaint about Practice Better's price increase, and my friend had said she didn't even blink when Practice Better sent out their price increase because they are continually adding features that people actually care about. And I mean, obviously the software also cares about them, but it's not one of those things where people are like, hey, we want you, we really care about adding this one feature. And the software's like, oh, we're going to work on this other feature and then charge you more. They really supposedly, I don't subscribe to this software, but they apparently take their users' feedback into really, really high consideration and actually implement things that people care about. And they always are working to make it better. So she had said every single one of her colleagues uses Practice Better and not a single person complained about the price increase.
Nice. I wonder if that's because they are not quite B2C, but not MarTech. I feel like there is this culture in SaaS for marketers where they follow this kind of script of like, okay, I got the pricing increase email, let me go to social and complain about it. Where right. She's just like, oh, this is a piece of software I use. I don't really use any other software. I mean, maybe I have Canva to like design my Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And they're increasing their prices. They're like a very serious kind of thing. Software. It's a little scary, different. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, okay, they're increasing their prices. I'm not thrilled about it, but I'm not upset. I'm not going to go talk to social about it.
Yeah.
So many things to like consider and hypothesize and think about. And yeah.
I know. And it is so interesting because I feel like there's so much that you could dig into when it comes to this. It's like assessing how much was the price increase versus the social response? What was the percentage? And if we could scrape every instance of somebody like with Canva, when they initially announced their price increase, it was like the entire internet exploded. They have a huge user base and their price increase was actually egregious.
Mm-hmm. Black Friday deals are supposed to be insane, right? That's exactly what my Blowout Bundle is. Insane. Email Mastery, the full 9-week accelerator, both tracks. It's sold for $3,000. It's inside the bundle. The SaaS Success Pack, it sells for $500. It's inside. All 13 Ecom playbooks, inside. The Rapid Fire Email Audit Library, inside. Client Management Templates, the Campaign Ideation Masterclass, the Confident Customer Interview Packet, all inside. Add it all up,
$4,224.
You get all of it, everything I've ever made for email strategists at 76% off, 76. This is the insane deal you're looking for.
Wait, I forgot the best part. As a loyal podcast listener, you get an extra 10% off. The coupon code is a little tricky to say, so check it out in the show notes.
NikkiElbaz.com/black-friday. The link is also in the show notes.
It really did feel like I'm on the receiving end of a greedy software company who is just looking to price gouge. And they did end up rolling back their price increase.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Ooh, yeah, it was actually like that couple of days on the internet was wild. I haven't seen any price increase get the kind of response that Canva did. The second biggest response that I saw was to Kit. And what I say in the report is Kit built their whole audience off of creators. And what do creators do? They post on social media. Like that's their,
I love that.
That's their whole thing. And so it's not surprising that there was a lot of feedback from people who use Kit, but that was such a crazy couple of days when Canva announced their price increase and then ended up rolling it back because the outrage was so widespread. And I'm sure their support team was getting it. It was on socials. Mm-hmm. I bet they were just being bombarded. Rightfully so, in my opinion. I think their price increase was cuckoo bananas.
Yeah. See, isn't that interesting that I didn't hear about the rollback?
Oh, because interesting.
Because people talk about the bad stuff, but they're not like, hey, Canva actually heard our complaints and changed their mind. Mm-hmm. No one's posting that.
Yeah. I mean, I did see that, but I was also paying very close attention. And that was one of the like first price increases that made me start to pay attention.
There's one that I remember from 2020-ish that I hate it. It made me so angry. And to this day, it's a very, very widespread software. Like people use it all the time. And to this day, every time I get something from them or see them, I'm just like, I hated your price increase email. They phrase it as an exciting update. Hooray, we are announcing a new plan. And they gave a week's notice as well. It was a very, very short. It was insane. But it's funny that I feel so angry about it that every time I now see one, I am like huffy about it. And like I will not go back to them, even though they are way better. They are way better. Mm-hmm. And I could go back to them. And I probably will in like a year after I calm down a little bit more.
Yeah. Fair. You know what? I think one of the things outside of marketing, I want to do studies on how strong of a motivator spite is and the lengths we will go to do things out of spite. Like,
cool.
I will use a worse software because I am so mad at your price increase that, like, out of spite, I'm going to do this.
That's such a good one. It's not outside of marketing. That is like a huge motivator for marketing for sure.
Yeah, spite. It's a strong one.
So, takeaways for companies that they are increasing their software. What would you tell them? Top three things, top five things, whatever.
Okay. Absolutely. My lines in the sand are you cannot send it from a no reply email address. Absolutely not. Plan for the volume. Understand people are going to reply. They're going to complain. Accept it. Set aside people on your team to go through the inbox, address anything that's important. And just like know that that's going to happen. That's number one. It should make it completely clear from the subject line that this email is about price increases.
Yeah.
Price is going up. This is not an exciting update. This isn't, we're not being vague and ambiguous here. They should know that when they open this email, they're going to be finding information about the fact that their plan price is going up. And then I would say my next thing, like 100% that you need is to include the new price that they're paying. And even better is to include the old price and the new price.
Mm-hmm.
I know with some softwares, it can be a lot of work, especially if there's dynamic pricing involved, but it doesn't matter. Like you can put in that work. It's worth putting in the work because it's so offensive when you say, hey, your price is going up. And you don't tell me how much I'm going to be paying, and I have to click through and do all this research to find out what I'm paying. And also, I don't know 100% the price of all my softwares. So how do I know what type of an increase this is? Like, I know roughly for a lot of them, but not for all of them. And so to make it the best experience possible for your users, just give them both prices. And if there's some this will be based on usage, this number will change every month based on whatever sending or storage limits or whatever the case is for your software, you can put that, but you can say, like, here's the base price of what your new plan is. Mm-hmm. So those would be like my absolute top three. And then we're going to say, like, such an easy way to just get in people's good books is tell them if there's any way to save money, right? Yeah. If they switch to an annual plan, are they going to save 20%? Easy. Let me know that. Mm-hmm. And then I can make that decision. And if that's something maybe I didn't know, and maybe I can't do it right now, maybe I can in 3 months from now. It's going to look good if you just mention that, even if they don't take you up on it.
And I think another takeaway from Flowdesk is if you can build into your strategy something where you can grandfather your people, your current subscribers in for like something, you know, give them another month, give them another 2 months, give them another year at the current price.
Yeah.
And then they won't be as mad.
Yeah. And I think it was HoneyBook actually gave discount on the new price for the first year and then said, after that 1 year, you will be at the full price. But what that signals to me is there's not going to be another price increase in the coming year. So that also kind of soothes the nerves a little bit. I don't know if that's true. I don't use HoneyBook. If they're going to give me a year at a discounted price, I assume there's not going to be another price increase in that time.
Yeah. What did you think about the Kajabi email? Because I thought it was a very well done email, but there was still complaints. You pulled a few screenshots where they're like, you didn't give us the features we were asking for. You're putting these other features, da 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 da. But I thought from a copy perspective, they hit all the right points. They were very passionate and very customer focused. So is it just a case of people are going to be mad no matter what you do? Or do you see opportunity there?
Yeah. So I think the Kajabi email, a little long for my liking.
And there was like another whole like section that like felt way off topic. But
yes.
Aside from that.
And I don't know if this is thinking too much into it, especially because I don't 100% know who their ICP is. I think a lot of people, much like with ClickFunnels, I think a lot of people get sold on Kajabi before they actually need it. It's a very powerful tool. The price matches it. And so if I were to wager a guess, it's that a lot of people on that platform got into it thinking they were going to grow into it. There's a lot to it. So they're likely not making use of all the features. So then the price goes up and it's like, oh, I already wasn't making as much use of the tool as I should. And now it's going to cost me even more.
That's a really good point because it opens with, hey, we used to be just a course platform and now we are so many other things. And you're saying that actually makes them feel worse.
I think there's probably a lot underneath the complaints that it really comes, in my opinion, down to I'm not making full use of the software. There's so much in here and now I'm going to be paying even more.
Because I was curious about that one. There were so many good pieces about it and yet the anger was still there. So that makes a lot of sense.
And I wonder if the good was buried in the mass wall of email. Like I think it stretches 3 pages.
Yeah,
like 3 pages and cuts off at the bottom.
Yes. So I was like scrolling through looking for a different, I didn't read the whole thing at first. And then I was scrolling through looking for something else. I saw that last page with just that little cutoff area. And I was just like, oh, this is actually a good one. Let me go back and read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if they had just put that last bit with like a little bit and the pricing table, I like the way they did that table.
Yep.
Definitely cutting would have been really, really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been interested to split test.
It did feel also like part of it was they were just trying to sell themselves. They were trying to sell the new plan where it was like half-half. It was half like, we really appreciate you. You're our heroes. We couldn't do this without you. We were taking you seriously. And then it was like, you really, really want this new plan, don't you? Here's everything awesome about it. So they had 2 goals, which is obviously always a problem.
For sure.
Okay. So when we're not talking price increase emails, what emails do you love to get? Where do you swipe from?
Ooh, that's a really great question. This is going to sound so lame. I love looking at transactional emails because I think they're the forgotten little child. You know, they're unproblematic. They're just doing their thing in the corner. But I think they're so important and they're such a missed opportunity that mm-hmm. when I get a good transactional email, I'm like, somebody mm-hmm. put work and intention behind this. And so I always tell my assistant, don't delete transactional emails, please.
Yes, I have a whole transactional playbook with transactional emails because they are so awesome. Such a lost opportunity. Absolutely. Agree with you 100%.
And then a company that I really, really love, Joe was telling us to use them. Amanda Natividad works for them.
SparkToro?
SparkToro. I love SparkToro.
On the podcast.
Yeah, SparkToro's onboarding emails. I believe, and I don't 100% know this, but I'm pretty sure they worked with Ramly John to mm-hmm. create their yeah. onboarding emails. And they're so good. They are so, so good. So I really, really love, and I've swiped all of their free trial onboarding emails. And I just genuinely like their emails as an ongoing thing as well, because I think they're really, really well done. And I love the software.
Yeah, they have a lot of intention in the way that they do things. He was telling us in the other episode, they know that a lot of their subscribers use them intermittently. So they're mm-hmm. not trying to like force this habit of use us all the time. It's like, okay, you'll come back when you're ready for us. We know you yeah. like us. We know your work habits. So mm-hmm. a lot of intention and a lot of understanding of their customers.
Yes.
Awesome. Jess, this was so fun. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see what, can you give us a sneak peek of the next report, what it's on?
Ooh, so I'm doing basically a state of free trial onboarding report. And so I've opted into over 100 free trials Woo. That all of these companies have sent throughout the entirety of their free trials. And I am doing what feels right now like a very large breakdown, but I'm trying to simplify it into what is actually going to matter versus something like pricing, where I can get very hyper-focused on certain mm-hmm. topics. That could maybe be their own breakout report, but state of free trial onboarding in 2025 and just looking at what are companies sending, what are they doing, how many emails, all these kind of things, what does day zero look like, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that's the next report coming, but it is a hefty one. So we're slowly chipping away over here.
Cool. So make sure you get the free report from Jess's site. Link is in the show notes. And then you'll probably be notified for the new report as well. Correct?
Correct. And all right. If the state of free trial onboarding interests you, the report, please message me, because when I hear that people are excited about it, it actually makes me more excited. And then I work on it more. Mm-hmm. Like with this price increase, I had people lovingly harass me for it. That's very awful. Lovingly. It was exactly what I needed to get it over the finish line. So this is your permission to lovingly harass me for the state of free trial onboarding report.
Cool. Hey, I'm lovingly harassing you right now. I want to see that thing.
Heck yeah.
Awesome. All right, Jess, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was amazing.
Thanks for joining me for email story time. If you enjoyed today's story, give this podcast a review so email marketers like you can have more fun with email. See you next week when we dig into this story's takeaways.
Make sure you check out also the two episodes we mentioned today. The SparkToro episode with Rand Fishkin. Definitely dig into his onboarding there. It is a great episode. Also, the D-Track pricing increase email. That was an interesting episode, especially given now all this other context about pricing increases. Kind of interesting to see how that plays out against everything we talked about today. Maybe it would have done things differently. Maybe not. Interesting stuff. Go check it out. Link is in the show notes.